The one about home. I wake up solely by the light of sunrise because I can't afford blinds. The furniture in my house has a past life that I can only glean from the areas where the seats sag and the edges fray. It's student life in an apartment not big enough to have the toaster in the kitchen. It's on the living room side table. But I don't have enough time to care. The maintenance man came 2 months ago to fix the leaky ceiling, but I'm still dabbing up droplets before they have the chance to mold the carpet. It's what it feels like to not be valued by a landlord. It's in the sound of quarters rattling in the jar on the passenger seat on the way to the laundromat. It's in my roommate moving home because, one morning, he woke up and his wall was covered with ants. It's in the smell of a neighbor's dinner cooking on one side and the sound of a neighbor singing on the other. A place I don't own, but for now it owns me. I used to try to milk each day of every minute it has to offer. Work through lunch break. Homework while cooking dinner with one hand. Listen to an audio textbook while washing the dishes, taking a shower, wiping down the walls. I saw less of this place then. How intriguing it is that so many professors have stepped up to give students any reason to turn in work late or simply not do any at all. They understand that these are hard times. I wonder why so many did not understand before. Surely a worldwide pandemic is not the only time there can be an illness in the family or financial strife or a time-consuming job or home insecurity. But somehow, letting that impact higher education was never permitted until this year. Our tragedies are only valid if they are common with their own. These thoughts are irrelevant. These are thoughts only the unpainted walls here, what would be called exposed brick in an upscale neighborhood, and only come from living in a place that has no life to give. I think we all need to live in a shitty apartment at some point to humble ourselves. It has been a year and I am not humble. I am just bitter. The one about Jessica. She had already been rather alone for months. N95s at the ready for when friends would come to bring her greasy chicken and bread soft enough for her mouth to chew. She was attached to the place anyways, like there was an octopus suction to her back, 8 skinny arms reaching through the gap in her hospital gown into the holes in her skin. Ticking, clicking, never a moment of silence, just an eternity of solitude. Now the visitors are stopped at the doors. No deliveries can be made up to the 17th floor, and I wonder how clearly she can see me when I wave from the sidewalk, because I can't tell which window is hers, and I don't know if she's looking in the right place. When we first visited, before the doors were shut, we learned that they take away flowers. They take a photo of them down at the front desk, print it out sideways on an 8x10 sheet of paper, and toss the flowers away. She has not tasted the honeyed breath of outside in too long. It is sterile. She is safe. Physically, that is. But when you don't have the strength to entertain yourself, when your mind is too occupied for the positive thinking bullshit they always recommend, perhaps she isn't all that well. And I can do nothing about that. The funny one. So I evaluated my houseplants' personalities today, and I must say I am not impressed. I appreciate the company they've been giving me, and my golden pothos cracks some good jokes that really get me going. But by God, some of them are so needy. I watered my succulents to their exact specifications, and I bought them their own sun that I screwed into a floor lamp, and they're still browning and dropping leaves like they don't want the life I've given them. Do not drop them like they're hot, you cursed cactus. They're not hot. They're in a perfectly temperature-controlled environment, and I don't know where you learned to be so dependent because it certainly wasn't from your mother. Every day at noon, I eat lunch at the same desk I've been working at. It's called living in a cheap apartment. No, I cannot separate my workspace from my living space, but thank you. And I scroll through Instagram to see what's going on in everyone else's homes. Celebrities are more relatable than ever. The people rejoice. Our peerless leaders pumping inspiration through songs about if there's no heaven to comfort us in a time of death. Their makeupless faces remind me that I, too, can remain below average even after plastic surgery. Give us this day our daily headlines to nourish us, to supply our fear with pessimism and our hope with some gosh darn realism. I cannot take it. I turned to Fox News for some comedic relief. I went to the store for the first time this month to pick up ingredients for a new recipe I was going to try, but, and this has never happened, I got lazy while still at the store and decided to scrap the list and just buy a bag of frozen chicken nuggets instead. Dinner for a week. My mother called that evening, worried about me living alone. I do not understand her concern. I am thriving. The sad one. My own voice bouncing back at me from the cold walls like the bottom of a well, the same breath swirling in and out of my mouth, my clothes pooling around me like water. Echo, slick, cold, close air, the feelings of company. Head bowed in prayer for the other side of the curve that I can picture even less than how the sun shone yesterday. Dreaming of white against black in a dimly lit room, not this one, in a silence that is comforting, in an embrace that is warm and not my own, in a moment I had planned since I was a little girl sewing chunky white fabric at my grandmother's old Singer. Moments fade even when they haven't happened yet. Funny how I can no longer bring myself to do anything. Maybe it's because now I have the ability to do nothing. No, I don't like that option. That would mean that before, I was just too busy to be depressed. It is all the same. You, me, the same 10 fucking objects I look at every day, nothing else. There is nothing else. When the day's fires cool and I am still looking east, I am reminded I could stop existing in this moment and no one would know. The one about the world. Words. Same headline in 27 languages. Voices of brass and flesh from windows, balconies, porches. A designated time for cheering, the rest left to fear. The sweet perfume of another life becoming less familiar than a childhood dream memory. Wisdom. This is not what it will take to teach us that we are all the same. Arbitrary boundaries remain for discussion, debate, dissent. We fully believe that this has revealed nothing about ourselves and everything about the world. Blame. It has to go somewhere. It floats through the streets, lingering with disappearing smog and the same safe sounds of bird calls. The wind whips it westward to hang over the very heads of those that were killed for trying to warn us. We are ruthless. We strive for anger in the times that cry out for forgiveness. Grief. The earth is grieving. The soil that was once beneath our feet is beginning to stretch and breathe, its children starting to wander, to mourn their losses and recover. Hope is translated in front of our eyes and gifted between untouched hands. There will be light to come of this. The long night does not prove the inexistence of the sun. We've gotten this far, almost together. Grief teaches. We are learning. The one of what I've learned. 1. I know how to chart the angles of the sun through my window with each passing hour. The leaning shadows across my carpet, the minute it bathes my desk, the moment when each memory along the shelf will be warm to the touch, full of life as it hasn't been in years. I understand now the great triumph it was for the ancients to chart the stars. 2. I should no longer reject cliches. We are not promised tomorrow. I know this now. 3. The precision of a paintbrush does not matter when working with watercolors. The paint goes where it wants its own conception of correctness. The shades always look even until the water dries and the harsh lines return. Somehow, it looks better like that. 4. Fear dissolves with time. In the beginning, I'd go downstairs and check to make sure the door was bolted and chained, and then I'd go back up to sleep, and then I'd go back down to check, and then I'd go back up to sleep, and then I'd go back down to check, and then... Now, I look once before flicking off the light, and I am okay. 5. You do not start a puzzle by assembling the main image. You start with the very edges, the rigid fringes that are easiest to distinguish not by their color, but their shape. And then you find where everything goes in the background. The soft parts. The parts that are somehow not in focus. A focal point is not always what is most important. 6. I have not learned, but I am learning to be okay with myself. With my knotted thoughts and the works of my hands and the past I've painted with too many colors until it was mud brown. I was never meant to pull the sun below the horizon and tell the world it is night. I'm worth something, no matter how small my ripples in eternity will be.